Blog Talk Radio.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road, when along came a semi with a high end canvas covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston, Texarkana, Monterey.
It's time for the next edition of the Riveting Jumbo Justice Radio Show, broadcast worldwide on Blog Talk Radio. Turn up your speakers and listen closely, since you may be asked questions later. Keep your phone handy, since we encourage you to call in your comments to the host and guests on today's show. The listener call-in number is 347-996-5983. Once again, the number is 347-996-5983. You will also find the number on the top of the homepage for the Jumbo Justice Radio Show. I'm Audrey, your technical and spiritual advisor for the radio broadcast. And now, without further delay, allow me to introduce your eminently qualified and inspiring host for Jumbo Justice, Professor Keith Haley.
Well, thank you very much, Audrey. In absentia, I might add, Audrey is gone. Emily is gone. Isn't that something? And Lucy are gone. All three of those British girls went home to London for the holidays, and we wish them the finest trip and experience that they can have with their families, because they worked so hard during the year. So we played an audio tape of Audrey to start the show. But thank you very much, Audrey, in absentia. And we can't wait to see you come back. Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Network and the Jumbo Justice Radio Show. I want to thank Johnny Class for taking us on that long trip. We always stop at Dayton. You probably realize that if you've ever listened to the show more than four or five times. And I was actually in Immigration City, USA. Remember, Dayton is setting the goal to become Immigration City, USA. They're going to make welcome immigrants of all categories, I understand, from what I hear, that you'll be able to come to Dayton. There'll be special things for you, help you. They want the city to grow. The city's population has decreased by, more than a couple hundred thousand, I think, over who knows how many years. But anyway, that's going to be their method for growing. We'll have to see how that works. I'm not sure Immigration City has worked real good in some other cities, because it's turned out often to be, at least sometimes, to be illegal immigration. And maybe that doesn't bother Dayton. I don't know. We'll have to see what happens. I'm your host, Keith Haley, and thank you for joining our show tonight. We're going to do something a little bit unusual. We've done radio shows before, but tonight we're going to do one. You know, we dedicate this show to police and fire and, prison and court and lawyers and all those kind of people that work in criminal justice. But we like to look at some of the humorous side of the practice of criminal justice also. And tonight we're going to do that with some old-time radio shows off of archive.org. Won't have time to play completely all two of them, but we're going to feature tonight Nero Wolfe. How many out there in the listening audience know about Nero Wolfe? Old-time radio show going way back prior to the 1950s. And this show features a very large, let's say, overweight detective who is lazy as can be. He's assisted by his sidekick and gopher man, Archie. And there's only one other thing we can add about Nero Wolfe. He's also brilliant, but he hates to work. You'll get that when you listen. You'll listen to the show. But anyway, thank you for joining us tonight. We'll see what we can do with that thing. If you haven't listened to any Nero Wolfe shows, if you haven't gone to archive.org, I talk about that site a lot, that it's a tremendous free open source place. And I think somebody's got a diet book on there, I've heard. Somebody got a diet book called Treble Diet. It's audio with Audrey reading the book, totally free. But thousands and thousands and thousands of radio shows, old movies, movies for the blind, books free. I mean, on and on and on. It's just a wonderful open source site on the Internet. You're listening to Blog Talk Radio. Maybe it's going to be your New Year's resolution as you listen to start your own show coming in 2012. You can do that. By the way, I heard B.B. King this morning. I was listening to the radio on the Blues Network, and he started off with a song called Don't Look Down. It's a funny song. You've heard the lyrics to the blues song. The idea is that don't look down, keep your head up, keep moving forward, keep hammering on. And the second stanza of the song actually talks about he's in London, and he sees this great big limousine come along, and he looks, and there's Queen Elizabeth inside of the car, and she reaches out of the car, or extends her head out of the car, and says, "Aren't you B.B. King?" And there's a little applause. Of course he is. And she says, "Well, all I got to do," or something like this. She says, "You know, do you have any advice?" And he says, "Yes, keep." Don't look down, just keep moving on forward. And she certainly was able to do that. But what's possible, if you want to get your own show, you can do it. Just go to Blog Talk Radio. I imagine you could sign up in 5 minutes and be broadcasting the same day, the same hour, if I understand what they've got posted on the website. So that would be very interesting for you to do that. Try it out. You don't have to make a commitment forever, but see what you can do, and you can probably gather a pretty large audience by doing that. Get your own show. We've said that before. If you want to call in tonight during the show, you could do that during the news show. We're not going to have much time, but 347-996-5983. That's 347-996-5983. We can hold 50 calls. We never had 50 calls. We're not going to have a blind joke, but we are going to play the High Coalition Against Firearms, their public safety message, where they would like you as criminals that are listening to the show tonight. I understand we might have one or two. They should go down and turn their firearms into the police tonight. Don't make it tomorrow. Do it tonight before the weekend. Go ahead, High Coalition.
Carrying concealed handguns in Ohio? It's a deadly idea. A message from the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence.
Well, thank you very much, Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence. What a noble cause you have. And we're sure that message is falling on the right ears, and people are going down and turning in their guns, perhaps this very minute. There have been a string of shootings. Have you noticed those here over since Christmas holidays? We've had Detroit went into skating rink at a Christmas party or a party of a holiday party and shot, I think, 9. And then we had another one where 12 were shot. Boy, it sounds like a fun time. You know, go to a party, do a little snacking and all that business, maybe a couple drinks, and then get shot. Oh, isn't that terrible? I mean, isn't that just terrible that something like that goes on? Then we had that tragic event in Grapevine, Texas, where the gentleman dressed as Santa Claus killed all the members of his family. What in the world? Anyway, let's go to something more positive. I did notice the sun out several times today, so global warming is still real, and we always try to give you a green tip, and this one, of course, is from Esma Floyd's little book, 1001 Little Ways to Save the Planet. And her book is pretty little, actually. It's 224 pages. But anyway, this is tip number 690. And this one says, slow food makes more sense. Everybody goes to fast food, right? Everybody goes to fast food. It says, don't spend your money supporting global fast food chains. They contribute to intensive farming practices in order to produce the large quantities of meat that they sell daily. Go to a local restaurant where you can be sure the meat is responsibly produced. Isn't that something? I never once ever thought of that I was harming the planet by going to a fast food restaurant, which I like fast food restaurants, actually. And, they have good things, and sometimes they have seasonal things, and then sometimes after they have their seasonal things, you get in line to get it again, and it's gone. I think that happened this year was something. I wanted a McRib at McDonald's, and I went through, and they said, we don't do that anymore. Okay. All right. In the news tonight, we got a lot of interesting news stories. I'm going to spend a lot of time on them tonight, but some of these are just, they border on hilarious and also serious. Here's one. We have these hackers out there on the computer. There's all kinds of different technical names for them, but some of these are what you call typo squatters. What happens here, a single typo during an online shopping foray can turn your holiday into techno disaster. One internet security firm is warning that a botched keystroke while typing an online address can give computer criminals a chance to hijack your system. And the San Diego-based WebSense Incorporated has identified as many 2,000 so-called typo squatters, which use sites that look identical to legitimate ones to capture personal information, and they launch malicious computer attacks and they initiate all kinds of online scams. But in other words, if you type, you go to Walmart and you have like wallmatt.com, then that takes you to one of these typo squatters. And what they do there is they try to even sell you stuff. Some of you may have products and special deals. You've won this, you've won that, call us up and we'll give you the call-up things. They keep you on the line for over a long time, then you end up owing them like $70. I don't know how that works, but anyway, isn't that incredible? So be careful online. I mean, there's, how do we ever control this? Internet's a wonderful thing. It's an open source. Anybody can have a website and do whatever they want. You can be on Blog Talk Radio, but be careful. There are people out there that are making a living illegally over your and my mistakes on the Internet. One of these places offered that you want an iPad when, in fact, you hadn't, and you had to turn in this type of thing. Typo squatting sites can also infect computers with viruses. These malicious sites, they love to do that, and then because they're testing different kinds of viruses and the trouble it can cause and that sort of thing. But they're after this. The Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, they're working very well with GoDaddy. This is an outfit that chases these things down. And by the way, Amazon is very good at this. In other words, Amazon has gone out and bought up these phony websites, the mistakes. In other words, you make a mistake, instead of Amazon, you have aqmazon.com or maxzon.com or amzon.com. Amazon has gone ahead and bought those sites, so it's their site and you can't be molested by one of these computer hackers. Isn't that great? I mean, that's a very nice company. How could you beat Amazon? I mean, this is a place you order something on the Internet, 3 days, it comes in two. If there's something wrong, you tell them it's wrong, and they fix it in a day or two. So it's a wonderful, wonderful company. It's kind of an interesting idea. In California, they're not going to tow the cars of illegal or people who don't have a driver's license. Used to be at checkpoints and that type of thing. They would tow your car in. But they're not going to do that anymore because they consider it to be harmful to people. It costs them too much to get their car. Like to hold their car, they might not be able to get it for 8 or 10 days. The price will be up to like $1,000. And you know who that harms? It harms the illegal immigrants who are here and don't have a driver's license. They don't have a legal driver's license. So California this past week, I think, yes, is not this month. They started this and are now no longer going to tow in automobiles of people who are found at checkpoints and traffic violations for not having a driver's license. Isn't that great? They do the sobriety checkpoints. I think last year they took, 1,200 and Yeah, it's more than that. What was it? I can't find the number in the article, but it was a supersized number. And you got other cities that don't want to cooperate with that. They think this is a mistake. It's an open door, one more open door for illegal immigrants. And we'll have to see how that that works. Not every city in California is an open door, by the way. The state does some crazy things. This one is almost impossible to believe. Congress is set to give the green light on funding for a massive expansion of the Transportation Security Agency checkpoints. Remember they started doing checkpoints in Tennessee and places like that? Now they have created squads, creating 12 more VIPR teams, VIPR, that stands for Visible Intermodal Prevention and Response. Doesn't that sound federal? Another acronym. They've run more than 93 unannounced checkpoints and other search operations in the last year. These are not people at the airport, folks. These are people that are out on the highways and different places in the United States under the alleged reason that they're looking for terrorists. I don't think they've found any that we know of, but they're now going to be all over the place. And a lot of people think, what is this? This sounds like a national police force. This isn't what we're about in the United States. Back in October, this is when Tennessee Homeland Security Commissioner announced that a raft of new security checkpoints would be in place over the Halloween period in keeping the roadways safe for trick-or-treaters. Can you believe that? The federal government is making our roads safe for trick-or-treaters? And now they're talking about that they may actually show up at things like high school proms and stuff like that to make sure that things are safe. I mean, what nation are we living in? We have state police and county sheriffs and local police departments that do things like that, but thank you for paying your taxes. This is another one that's along the same line. You've got my drift, I guess. Decades of billions of dollars in spending in the name of Homeland Security has armed local police departments with military-style equipment and a new commando mentality. I see this all the time, the complete militarization of the police, and it frightens me. But has it gone too far? Andrew Becker and G.W. Schultz of the Center for Investigative Reporting, they did a study, and they found out that all kinds of things are going on. In Fargo, North Carolina, you can watch your dog run away for miles because of the surveillance equipment that they have. Fargo Traders, its placid lifestyle, seldom pierced by the mayhem and violence common in other urban areas. North Dakota's largest city has averaged fewer than 2 homicides a year since 2005. There's not been a single international terrorism prosecution in the last decade. But that hasn't stopped authorities. They now have they've gone on an $8 million buying spree to arm police officers with the sort of gear once reserved only for soldiers fighting in foreign wars. And I'll get off of this one. But they have their kettle of ham nuts. Every car now has an AK-47 style rifle. They now have a tank. What is this thing called? It's a tank with a turret on the top. And they say, well, this thing, it best shows up at the for training appearances and that type of thing. But if the cops would ever need a tank with a rotating turret, they can call this out at the Fargo Police Department. But it usually shows up for training and appearances at the annual city picnic, where it's been parked next to the children's bounce house. That's funny. Most people are so fascinated by it because nothing happens here, says Carol Archibald, a Fargo resident and a criminal justice professor at North Dakota. There's no terrorism here, but they're spending all of this money. Like Fargo, thousands of other PDs are doing the same thing, aided by more than $34 billion in federal grants since September 11, 2001. Isn't that absolutely incredible? By the way, our Occupy Los Angeles movement, as it Occupy around all the other places in the United States, has had some results. I don't know if the occupiers like this, but the city of Los Angeles now reportedly faces the millions of dollars of expenses brought about by the Occupy Los Angeles movement. City agencies have been ordered to calculate what was spent on the Occupy LA protests. repairs to City Hall's lawn alone, folks, just to the front lawn for City Hall, will require $400,000. The police action to clear out the encampment on November 30th cost more than $700,000. So now you've got $1.1 million the city has to pay thanks to these people who sat there and did whatever they did for whatever reason, and who's, I guess we're still trying to figure that one out. But isn't that incredible? I mean, isn't that just incredible? Over $1 million L.A. has to pay extra. And so they're going to have departments cut back on like real services. I thought this was a terrible story, and we'll finish our news with this. You probably heard about this and was passed around, especially if you live in the Midwest. But a guy was cleaning his gun around Fredericksburg, Ohio. At least the story's out of there. And he had a muzzle-loading rifle, shot the gun into the air, accidentally killing a 15-year-old Amish girl who was a mile and a half away. Or at least, it says more than a mile away. Yeah, about a mile and a half. But Rachel Yoder was shot in the head Thursday night while traveling to her home in Wayne County between Columbus and Akron. She had attended a Christmas party for employees, most of them under 18 years old, at an Amish produce farm, and was riding home alone when she was shot, says Wayne County Sheriff's Captain Douglas Hunter. Isn't that terrible? The horse continued to cart to go carry her home, and they found her in the buggy in her home. They thought, what did they say? Her brother found her after he saw the horse walking in circles and went to check it. Authorities initially believed she had fallen out of the buggy and hit her head until a hospital revealed she had a gunshot wound. And she later died. There's no charges been filed against this guy, but I think, isn't that something like a negligent manslaughter or something like that? I don't know. It seems like if you do something, I guess they're saying him firing a gun up in the air is legal, but if it ends up on a road, how legal is that? We'll have to see how that one turns out. But anyway, kind of an interesting idea. All right, let's take a look then and a listen to the wonderful story of Nero Wolf, private detective, not too energetic, but brilliant. And we'll see what the story says about him. And hold on just a second till we find it. I'm doing this without assistance. The first show is seasonal, seasonally appropriate, let's say it that way. And this one is about slaughtered Santas. And this is the Nero Wolf, W-O-L-F-E, detective show from a long time back. And here we go with the story of slaughtered Santas.
Ladies and gentlemen, the ringing of that phone bell means mystery, adventure.
Nero Wolf's office, Archie Goodwin speaking. Yes? Yes, I know that in 48 hours it's going to be Christmas, but who is this? Who? Look, I'm a big boy now, so... Okay, tonight at 8. Goodbye.
What the devil was that?
This may come as a shock to you, Mr. Wolf, but that was Santa Claus.
You've been drinking.
Uh-huh, the usual, Mill. He's coming to see you at 8. He's got a problem.
Indeed.
It seems that some low, not to mention murderous character is going around slaughtering Santa Clauses.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the bulkiest, balkiest, smartest, and most unpredictable detective in the world. That chair-born genius, Nero Wolf. Created by Rex Stout and brought to you in a new series of adventures over this NBC network in the person of Mr. Sidney Greenstreet.
Earlier than 8, however, the case of the slaughtered Santas. It began, to be precise, on the corner of 34th Street and Carlisle. The hour was close to 6, the weather cold, the sky dark.
Yeah, How you doing, Santa?
I'm freezing to death, officer.
It's a cold day. You packing up?
Yeah, I guess so. Not many people around anymore.
Oh, heading for home and dinner. How was the collection?
Well, I don't need no armored car, but a few dozen kids are going to have something for their Christmas stockings.
Your competition, the guy in the opposite corner, is already screaming.
Probably got low blood pressure. Yeah, give me a hand to get the collection part off the chains, eh?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I'll just walk you down the block. Got to phone in.
Okay, fine.
One Santa still left. Wonder what he's waiting for.
Santa Claus.
Well, watch yourself going down those chimneys tonight, eh?
Sure, sure. Well, I'll cut across the avenue here. Be seeing you.
Hey, that car coming down the street. Got its lights out. Look out!
Hey, Peg.
Huh?
Did I ever tell you I love you?
Oh, it's not me you love. It's a hot soup.
Yeah, now you're not the only woman who can cook a dish of soup.
Huh?
It helps, though. I'm just beginning to thaw out.
Yeah, that's the cold corner you play Santa Claus on.
Well, don't hurt to make a few bucks. I ain't done so good this past year. Well, maybe the next year it'll be... Oh, well. Besides, I kind of like it, you know. Kids asking questions all day long.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder how they figure the other two Santas at the intersection.
Our kids think of only one thing at a time. More soup?
Sure thing. You know, one of their mother Santas got hit by a car tonight.
Oh?
Yeah, packed up a few minutes before I did, started crossing the avenue, and bang! You know, hit-and-run driver.
Oh, gosh, that's too bad. Was he hurt?
Yes, he was killed.
Here's your soup. Oh, with traffic the way it is nowadays... Well, I better take a look at the stew.
Somebody at the door. I'll get it, Peg.
Okay.
Yeah, what? Oh!
Mike! Wolf?
Yes, Archie?
I've been thinking.
Good heavens.
Oh, I admit it won't bring about a national emergency. But, Mr. Wolf, Christmas is only a couple of days away.
If you're hinting about your present...
No. I was just imagining you behind a team of reindeer.
Your imagination is morbid.
You'd make a wonderful Santa Claus.
Really?
You got the perfect build for it. Of course, as for character...
Archie.
Yeah.
Can you picture me scrambling down a chimney?
Well, I might have to build bigger chimneys, but...
Bah.
There's that, too. However...
That is the front door.
True. I was thinking...
You might see who it is.
Well, if nobody's been lying to me on the phone, that'll be Santa Claus.
Maybe me.
But I haven't decided what I want for Christmas yet, Mr. Wolf. For example, should she be blonde or brunette, tall or short...
Archie.
On my way. Good evening.
I dislike dawdling on anyone's doorstep.
Well, stop dawdling. Come in, please.
Mr. Wolf has been warned of my arrival.
He has. Through here. Mr. Wolf, this is Santa Claus?
My name is Barton, John Barton.
How do you do, sir?
I have no time for the social graces, Mr. Wolf. I'm about to be murdered.
Hardly in my house, I have objections.
I'm a frightened man, Mr. Wolf.
Indeed.
This costume you see me in is responsible for it all.
Why are you in it?
I had a notion it might be, well, entertaining to play Santa Claus in public. I'm a wealthy man, sir. I can afford to have whims. Therefore, I have assumed this masquerade. However, it apparently is going to be the death of me.
Mr. Barton, you have adequately conveyed an atmosphere and an emotion. I suggest you concentrate on facts now.
Very well. I have been acting as Santa Claus for the Tuberculosis Fund. My station is the corner of 34th Street and Carlisle Avenue. I might add the northeast corner.
Why?
Because at that intersection there have been two other Santa Clauses. One on the southeast corner and one on the southwest corner.
Three Santa Clauses, then, on three corners.
Yes. Now then, earlier tonight, the man on the southwest corner started home. He was crossing the avenue when he was run down and killed by an automobile.
A regrettable accident.
The car was running without lights. It deliberately ran the fellow down and then vanished. Not an accident, Mr. Wolf.
You saw this yourself?
I did. One Santa Claus dead. The man on the southeast corner got home all right. According to the radio news flash, that's where he was killed by bullets.
Coincidence?
Possibly, but I wouldn't want to risk my life on the chance.
This is Friday night. In the nature of things, you would have made two more appearances. Very well, Mr. Bowden.
I'll write you a check as a retainer, then hurry along home. I'm late now.
No.
I beg your pardon.
You will neither hurry home nor notify anyone at your home of your whereabouts.
But
I... You will remain here until such time as I think it's safe for you to leave. The house is well guarded.
I can't do that.
In which case, I cannot accept you as a client.
I fail to understand.
Mr. Bowden, it is very easy to murder someone. Avoiding the consequences of such an action is something else again. However, I'm assuming that you're not primarily interested in what happens to your murderer after you're dead.
Of course not.
Therefore, you remain here. Archie?
Yep.
First, the corner of 34th and Carlisle, a complete report.
But that's nonsense. The corner will be deserted now.
Mr. Barton, you're hiring my intelligence. You therefore permit me to use it as I see fit. A complete report, Archie?
Right, sir.
You will then visit Inspector Kramer at headquarters. You will, in whatever manner you find effective, collect all the police information about the two already murdered Santas.
Fine. The manner, I think, will be applying a blowtorch to the inspector's toes.
Your levity is ill-timed.
The inspector is likely to throw me out of my ear.
Your problem.
My ear.
And on your way home, you might stop in at Mr. Barton's place.
I don't see any purpose in that.
Mr. Barton, there is a basic problem to which we must find an answer. Whether those two men were murdered because they were Santa Clauses, or because their deaths were merely preliminaries to yours. Archie, I suggest haste.
Yes, sir.
And avoid blondes.
Hmm?
I would like you to be home in time for Christmas.
Hey, Bud.
Yeah?
Got the price of a cup of coffee?
You sure you mean coffee?
Either you're gonna dig it up or you ain't. Never mind the questions about my personal affairs, see?
Oh, I apologize. Here.
2 bits. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Don't let me keep you.
You're not. 34th in Carlisle, huh? During the day filled with milling throngs? Hey, that's a nice phrase. I'll have to remember it. Milling throngs. And now desolate and deserted. Well, that's life.
Is that a fact?
That's philosophy.
Yeah? Well, for 2 bits, I don't have to listen to no philosophy, see? Good night, bud.
Uh-oh. The inspector's got company.
If all you reporters will shut up and ask your questions one by one, I'll answer them.
Inspector Kramer, it's true a couple of Santa Clauses have been knocked off tonight?
It's true that two men who have been employed as Santa Claus by charitable organizations have been murdered, yes.
Any connection between those two guys, or does somebody just hate Santa Claus?
You know, so far as we know, there is no connection.
That means it could be maybe some kind of maniac who's decided he doesn't like Christmas or Santa Claus. Is that right?
The department is investigating along those lines.
Like how?
Well, we're checking all the local asylums for possible escape lunatics.
Yeah, but Inspector, suppose this nut has never been in an asylum.
That'll be all, boys.
Oh, but listen,
I said that'll be all. Now, anything new comes in, you'll get it, understand? Hey, good one.
Hello, Inspector.
Yeah, I spotted you coming in. What happened? You decided to reform and got a job on a paper?
Nope. I'm a public-spirited citizen, that's all.
Yeah, I could add a few things to that description with practically no strain at all.
Mr. Wolfe and I are very sentimental about Christmas. We object to Santa Claus's being killed.
Nuts.
Oh, Inspector, aren't you in favor of Christmas?
I'm in favor of Christmas. I'm in favor of motherhood.
Leave motherhood out of this. Neither of us are mothers. Our chances of becoming mothers aren't too good either. And furthermore...
Okay, you're not given. So get out of here.
Thank you, Inspector.
But Goodwin...
Yeah?
In case Wolf decides to send me something for Christmas, you know what I wish he'd send me?
What?
Your head.
Well.
Oh.
Now I know what I want for Christmas.
What did you say?
I said my name is Goodwin and it's cold on your doorstep.
Oh, I'm sorry. Come in.
Mm-hmm. You didn't mention your name.
I'm Laura Barton.
Mrs. Laura Barton?
No.
Fine. That is, what relation are you to John Barton?
His niece. Why do you ask?
Oh, you've got a beautiful voice.
All this marble and no butler?
Well, I don't know where Pleasant is. He should be here.
Have him shot at sunrise.
Oh, Laura.
Wayne, this is Mr. Goodwin.
I never heard of him. What does he want?
Well, I don't know.
Wayne what?
Stevens.
Uh-huh. Friend of Mr. Barton?
Half-brother, but we seem to be doing all the answering. How about your answering some questions, Goodwin?
I'll try.
Come into the library. What do you want?
For Christmas? Erase that. I would like to see Mr. Barton.
He's not home.
Where is he?
Don't you know?
I wouldn't have come here asking for him if I did, would I?
I suppose that's true. What did you want with him?
Conversation.
About?
Anything. You see, I like to talk to rich men. Are you rich?
I can't play the piano either.
You could always learn. But being rich is harder, I found.
Mr. Goodwin, you must have some reason for coming here. Some reason concerning Uncle.
Laura, you're being imaginative.
Well, Uncle is late.
He's probably still on that street corner playing Santa Claus. He enjoys it. Why bother about what...
I don't know, except...
He's never been as late as this?
Well, no. Not since he started that masquerade of his.
Would you happen to know where the butler is?
Out getting drunk, I suspect. He was in the kitchen a little while ago. Disappeared. Pleasant likes to look on the wine when it's red. Or even when it's rye. No, I take that back.
Oh, you do?
He prefers Irish whiskey. We don't stock it. Therefore...
Well, too bad. I better run along. Good night, Mr. Stevens. Miss Barton.
Good night.
I'll see you out.
Prettiest butler I ever saw. Blonde. Now, old Dr. Tidmouse always said, beware of blondes because...
Mr. Goodwin,
Well, I'm waiting.
Well, Mr. Goodwin, you must know something about Uncle, something you didn't want to tell us.
Makes you think so.
Well, otherwise, your visit was just pointless.
Let's suppose I know. Now, I might be a kidnapper.
Oh, no.
My honest brown eyes.
Your first name is Archie, isn't it?
Archie? Archie Goodwin. Goes together nicely, don't you think?
You work for Nero Wolfe. You're going back to him now?
I might be, but then again, I might be going to the movies.
I recognized you. Your pictures have been in the papers. Take me with you to see Mr. Wolfe. You can trust me.
I never trust blondes.
Well, that's unfair.
Well, no, I don't trust brunettes either. Furthermore, I'm not sure Mr. Wolfe would want to see you, so I... Yeah.
So?
So why don't you, trail me home, Archie? Where's Santa Claus?
Guest room. He was tired.
I've been trailed home.
Indeed?
By a blonde.
Phooey.
All right, I admit I didn't make any strenuous effort to shake her off, but she trailed...
Where is she?
Outside.
Good. Your report.
Oh, but she might freeze to death out there.
That's her problem. Your report, Archie.
It's short and simple.
It would be simple.
I haven't got time to resent that. A blonde is dying. As for the report... Corner of 34th and Carlisle is a very quiet spot at night. No one was around, but a bum who got into me for a quarter. For coffee, he said.
You will not put that quarter on the expense account.
Stop worrying. That was a private gesture. There were four corners. Corner number one had a dress shop on it. Corner number two, a drugstore with a beautiful redhead in the window making with a hair rinse. The ad said her name was Noreen, but it didn't give her phone number.
Archie.
Third corner was devoted to a shoe store, and the fourth corner had a bank on it.
A bank?
Kind of thought we'd have a pause at that point. Mean something?
Inspector Kramer's information consisted of...
Oh, you're being coy. Kramer furnished the information the police could find no connection between the two murdered Santas.
Except for the fact that they were both playing Santa Claus.
Well, isn't that a little on the obvious side?
This is an obvious case. The Barton home, Archie.
Marble and old lace. The butler, his name is Pleasant, was among those missing. Among those present, Laura Barton, the old man's niece, and Wayne Stevens, his half-brother.
Ah.
Yeah, only for Laura. Stevens was not at all pretty.
It was Laura Barton who followed you here.
It was Laura.
Archie, go upstairs and...
Oh, now, wait a minute. The girl, the weather, common humanity demands that you have...
Louis, you speak for yourself, not humanity.
I'm human.
On occasion, a debatable point. Very well. Let her in.
Oh, thanks. Laura.
Yes?
Come in. Laura Barton. Mr. Wolf.
How do you do?
How much money do you inherit on the death of your uncle?
What?
That is known as the shock treatment. However, I need an answer.
Well, uncle isn't dead, is he?
That, for the moment, is irrelevant. How much?
Half his estate.
The other half?
Wayne, uncle's half-brother.
Very well. Archie, would you go upstairs and inform Mr. Barden that his niece is here?
Uncle is here?
On my way.
Yes?
Archie, Mr. Barton.
Come in.
Mr. Wolf would like you to come downstairs.
I suppose he has a reason.
Mm-hmm. A blonde reason, your niece.
My niece?
That's right, she did. Hey, where'd you get that?
A man of my wealth finds it safer to carry a revolver.
Yeah, but it's not safe to point it at people, especially for the people.
Turn around, Goodwin.
But, Mr. Barton, we're protecting you.
By letting that girl into the house? If I had the time, I'd be amused. As it is!
Good heavens.
Uh-huh. Santa Claus came early.
Your head.
Which one are you referring to, my own or the one Santa gave me?
You had better sit.
No, I had enough trouble getting up a little while ago. I'm staying out of any positions in which I might have to do that again. Mr. Barton is among the missing.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Hit me on the head and used the back exit. I checked with Fritz in the kitchen on the way here.
He offered a reason for his peculiar behavior?
Laura Barton.
So?
I don't understand. Uncle wouldn't do...
Uncle apparently has. He also would appear fancies himself in costume.
Well, he used to be very much interested in the stage. He acted for a while a long time ago till the family objected to...
Archie?
Got it. Nero Wolf's office. Archie Goodwin speaking.
You recite very nicely, Goodwin. This is Kramer. Let me have Wolf, huh?
Mr. Wolf? Inspector Kramer.
Yes, Inspector?
The papers haven't been carrying it, Wolf, but you're working on the Santa Claus case, aren't you?
Possibility?
You didn't send Goodwin down to headquarters on a possibility. Never mind. We're working on a line down here, Wolf. Now, look, if it doesn't strain your professional ethics, you might be able to help.
How?
There's a bank on the corner of 34th Street and Carlisle. We got the thought that suppose a gang was preparing to take that bank tomorrow morning. Those Santa Clauses have been on the corner for nearly a week now. They might have noticed something about the bank's routine, guards or what have you, that could interfere with the gang's plan.
A mighty ingenious and imaginative thought, Inspector.
Hey, you didn't say yes or no.
I have at the moment no opinion.
That's all you're going to give us?
At the moment. However, Inspector, in a very little while I shall give you the murderer. Archie, Miss Barton will remain here. As for you...
Yeah?
You return to 34th Street and find our coffee-loving friend. You will persuade him in whatever manner you think best to return here with you.
Huh?
Yes. You know, I think it possible you may be able to put that quarter on the expense account after all.
You.
What? Oh, why? I've seen you before.
Yeah, I've learned to love the neighborhood. That's why it's going to break my heart.
What is?
Leaving it with you.
With?
It's sensitive about having guns pulled on me tonight.
Let go of me, will you?
Not until I...
I tell you that, McGill.
Yeah. Gun looks in a lot better shape than you do. You're coming with me.
Oh, where?
Mr. Wolf would like to see you.
Nero Wolf?
Yeah.
Well, why?
He's trying to salvage a quarter.
Archie.
Uh-huh. Complete with the... He wouldn't give his name. He did have a gun to it, though. This one.
Yes. Archie, you know Miss Barton, of course?
Hi.
And Mr. Stevens? He joined us a moment ago. Miss Barton thought she'd be happy if he were here.
Hello, Stevens.
That's not the only reason I came. My brother is still missing. I'm concerned.
Yes. You, sir, will you sit down? Watching people stand makes me uncomfortable.
I don't have to.
You do. Archie is stronger than you are.
All right.
That's better.
If you don't mind, Mr. Wolf, I've never been here before, never met you. But you look as though you could handle things. I think my brother's been kidnapped.
Possibility we should have to consider. Miss Barton, perhaps you have a theory, too?
Well, I don't know. Uncle's been behaving strangely for weeks now.
In what way?
Well, I'm not sure. Wayne...
Well, of course, John's always been a little peculiar, but I'm afraid I saw nothing especially strange, outside of this Santa Claus stunt, of course.
I see. Miss Barton, your uncle played Santa Claus all week on one of the corners of 34th Street in Carlisle.
I know.
On two other corners, two other men indulged in the same activity. Those two other men are now dead.
Oh, no.
Wait. Mr. Wolf, you mean they were killed by mistake for Barton?
It is true that one man made up of Santa Claus looks very much like any other man similarly costumed. But the answer is no. One of the two men was shot in his home after he had removed his costume.
Well, then, what connection?
Miss Barton, in the event that you wanted to hide a tree, where would you hide it?
Hide a tree? Why, I wouldn't even begin to know.
If you were very clever, you would hide it in a forest. If you wanted to hide a murder and were very clever, you would adopt the same principle.
Wait, you mean that if someone wanted to kill Uncle and didn't want to be suspected, he'd...
Go about murdering several people with an ostensible, if lunatic, reason. He would, let us say, go about killing Santa Claus.
I get it. Then people would think the man he really wanted dead for a special and private reason had been killed for something that didn't point to him.
True. That was why two Santa Clauses were murdered tonight. The third Santa Claus, however, the real object of the murderer's attention, was lucky. Or suspicious. He fled.
Do I have to hang around here and listen to all this?
You do, my unwashed friend. Mr. Barton fled, and the murderer was in a quandary. He had, so to speak, invested in two murders merely to make the third one confusing. But he found himself unable to commit that third murder. He couldn't find his victim. Could he ask the police to do so? Hardly. But he might try to inveigle a private detective such as myself into the job.
That makes sense, Mr. Wolf, but... Why would my brother have deliberately fled from your house? I mean, he was protected here, so... But do I make myself clear?
Very clear, Mr. Stevens. Archie, that gun you took from the dirty gentleman, you still have it?
I still have it.
Then would you mind pointing it at Mr. Stevens here until the police remove him?
All right, come along, sir.
Well, that's the end of Mr. Stevens. Inspector Kramer will take good care of him from now on. But now, Mr. Wolf, Laura and me and the refugee from a washcloth over here would still like to know how and why and who was involved.
I knew two people had a motive for John Barton's death. Laura Barton and Wayne Stevens. One of them proceeded to kill Santa Clauses in the hope that the police would assume those killings to be the work of a lunatic.
The paper certainly hopped on that assumption.
Yes. However, John Barton, aware that his life was in danger, escaped his murderer and hid.
In this house?
No. A man in Santa Claus costume came here and said he was Barton. However, he was an obvious imposter. He proved that by his flight when his niece came here.
You mean he could fool you, but he knew he wouldn't be able to fool me, so...
Precisely. Therefore, was not Barton. Who was it? Who else had disappeared at the propitious moment?
The butler, Pleasant.
True. I distrust coincidence. Stevens needed an accomplice, hence he sent Pleasant here.
And Pleasant would give you a song and dance about Barton's danger and then scram. You'd start investigating, discover Barton was missing, try to find him, and lead Stevens to his victim, huh?
I frustrated that part of the plan by insisting on Pleasant's remaining here, which he did until...
That part of it's fine. But how did you choose between Laura and Stevens?
It was Stevens who knew, without being told, that Barton had been in his house and had fled from it.
Yeah. You yourself mentioned that Stevens had only been here a moment, so you hadn't told him.
Obviously, the butler phoned him as soon as he had hit you over the head and escaped. Furthermore, the butler masquerading as Barton had attempted to throw suspicion on Miss Barton. That convinced me of her innocence.
Well, you've done it again, Mr. Wolf, except for one minor detail.
You're not very successful at irony, Archie. What minor detail?
Where is Barton?
In this house.
Huh? When did that happen?
You arrived home with the gentleman sitting near you?
The bum? Wait a minute. This I ought to be able to figure out myself. Laura said Barton used to be an actor. That's item one, huh?
Yes, Archie.
Also, why is a supposed tramp hanging around a deserted intersection for handouts? The answer is he wasn't. He was keeping an eye out for trouble he knew was after him. Oh, so it turns out I gave a quarter to a millionaire.
Uncle? Your uncle? That is,
I know, my dear. Yes, I'm uncle. I did rather a decent job, didn't I? No one recognized me. Except, of course, you, Mr. Wolf.
Not recognition, Mr. Barton. Logic. Archie, open some beer for us.
Yes, sir.
Logic, eh? Well, whatever it was, Mr. Wolf, I owe you a good deal. How can I ever repay you?
Oddly enough, the answer is simplicity itself. Make out a check.
You have been listening to The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe, starring Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight's transcribed story was based on the characters created by Rex Stout. This is an Edwin Fadiman program produced and directed by J. Donald Wilson. In the cast were Larry Dobkin as Archie Goodwin and Howard McNear, Grace Lenard, Vic Rodman, Herbert Butterfield, Bill Johnstone, Gene Bates, and Bob Bruce. Next week at this same time, Nero Wolfe and Archie will bring you The Case of the Bashful Body. Don Stanley speaking. Three chimes mean good times on NBC.
Well, that's the end of that episode. Those Nero Wolfe shows were really very interesting, but I think there's 12 or 15 of them listed on archive.org. And the way you find those, over in the right search location box, you click radio programs, then you search for Detective or Nero Wolfe, and it'll take you right to those, and they're completely downloadable. I mean, you can keep them if you would like for some one reason or the other, or you can just play them right off of the website. And they're in several formats, regular MP3, so you have choices relative to that. I don't think I'm going to start the other one tonight. The other one is called The Careless Cleaners. You can go and listen to that one too. It's very interesting, but they're a lot of fun. And as you probably have realized more than once in those days, you had to do a lot of thinking to do this type of writing. The video wasn't there, and B, I think, seems like people had more complicated plots in those days. And we got through the show without one CSI agent showing up. Isn't that amazing? Well, look, Happy New Year, folks. We'll see you after the first of the year, and Vera Lynn will see us off the show as she usually does.
Again, don't know when, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. He's smiling just like you always do. Till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know. Tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing. We meet again, don't know when, don't know when.